This time, a Kawaii-Fi radio. We talk kaiju ethics.
Godzilla's not just having a nice time.
You might not think Godzilla's having a good time, but Godzilla's having a great time. We discuss why genre labeling is important.
I don't know what happened, but it was put on Netflix under LGBTQIA+, rather than horror. That's how they categorized it.
And we talk about growing up with Cardcaptor Sakura.
I wanted this one Cardcaptor book that it was like a sleepover thing and it had like quizzes in it.
Aww.
And I got that and I was so happy.
Was it like Scholastic?
Yeah.
Ava launch!
Tetsuo!
Kaneda!
Onita?
It's over 9,000!
Nani?
Configure the language logic interface for Japanese.
Kawaii-Fi radio!
Kishwa, and welcome. You tuned into Kawaii-Fi Radio, the podcast. We dive into the world of anime, manga, and Japanese otaku culture. I'm Kyle, and with me is Emma.
Hello.
And the return of Kirilee. Hey. Welcome back, our friend.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been. It's been
a long time.
We've all been busy. It has been one of those years and the start of a new one as well.
Yeah.
But it's good because this episode, we're finally doing it. It's finally time. We're talking about card captors.
Whoop whoop.
This episode is still cursed because half the team is away.
Yeah.
So we're just doing it anyway because Kirilee is our card captor expert, our lover of card captors.
Yeah.
Our supreme queen of the cards. Believe in the heart of the cards.
Yes.
Now, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We also have this on our YouTube channel where you can actually view the video version of the podcast and other bits and pieces and socials. There's Patreon, all these other things. If that sounds something you're interested in, links in the description. But first, let's start off the show with the important stuff, which is what we've been watching.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy! Ohayo!
Hang tight! I gotta go!
I have to know!
Hooray! I did the thing!
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the most important thing, but it is what we're doing at the moment, and that is watching animes. So, let's talk about Seventh Time Loop, and both of you have been watching this, Emma and Kirilee. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What
I
is it?
I love this one. Do you want to explain the plot?
Oh, you can. Oh. You go ahead.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's one of those protagonist dies, comes back, has a different life kind of thing.
Okay.
But this girl, she was supposed to marry the prince. Prince says, get lost. She's like, woe is me. Has a different life. 5 years down the track, she dies. Comes back at that exact point where the prince tells her, get lost. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll go and live that life I just did because that was pretty good, but I'm going to go home first. And because she did that, she missed out on, you know, certain events.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to have a different life.
Oh.
And that happens again 5 years later.
Does it happen 7 times?
Are we up to 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's up to her following the 7th life.
Right.
So she was like, I'm just going to relax. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to lay here.
She's like, I've worked so hard
for
like the last 6 lives that I'm just going to be chill.
I'm going to have this life off.
Yeah. So she's been, you know, just like a random royal court lady thing. That was her first one.
Yeah.
And then did she become a merchant? Then,
yeah, a merchant.
And then was it a researcher?
Or the doctor?
Was it the doctor?
Well,
and
it
then
was
researcher?
Like a it's a doctor researcher. Like,
okay, so lots of professions.
Yeah, so royal court lady, I should say, merchant, doctor, researcher, maid, soldier.
Right.
Ooh.
Wow, we're missing one. This is like naming the 7 dwarves.
Is it dopey?
I don't know. I'm sure there's one that we're missing, but there is.
Yeah. Anyway, so she comes back for the 7th loop, if you will.
Because her very last life was the soldier.
Yeah.
And she was stabbed by the bad guy.
The bad guy. Who is responsible for her death, either directly or indirectly, every single life. And then she ends up meeting him, because at the very beginning she decides to turn left instead of right, you know, as one of those
when she's like leaving the castle
butterfly
sort of
wings kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then she ends up marrying him because she's like, well, he's the reason for my death, so let's see if we can figure that out. And she becomes like this, you know, princess queenie lady, and she's like, I'm going to be lazy, okay, like this is what I want to do. And obviously she's not lazy.
No, obviously.
But yeah, she retains all of the memories from her past lives, so she knows how to do medicine, she knows how to clean, she knows how to like sew, and she's a soldier and all this stuff, so yes.
Cool. So
I don't know if it's farmer. She might have been a farmer.
Farmer, yeah, for the other one.
She did farming as well. Mm.
Did she?
Yeah. Well, because she started farming the
herbs. But I figured that was part of the researcher role. Can you look it up?
it's annoying me. Okay. So, seventh time loop.
Yeah.
And what would you say? Professions?
Yeah.
Six.
Or life loops. Because, yeah, it was court, and then she ran into the merchant group.
Merchant, then, apothecary,
yeah.
Alchemist, maid, hunter, and knight.
Hunter?
I didn't know she was a hunter.
Apparently that's the fifth loop. Yeah.
They haven't mentioned that one, so maybe that one comes into play later.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there you go. That's what's written down. It's even in the Wikipedia entry as well on the hunter and knight. So I'm guessing maybe the hunter and knight ones were kind of like shown together. Maybe because, you know, maybe she was a monster hunter as opposed to like a...
No, because as a knight, she disguises herself as a man for that life. And she is like directly killed by the bad guy, Prince.
Who is maybe not the bad guy, but could be the bad guy, but we're not sure.
Yeah.
It's like, nice. He's the bad guy, but we're pretty sure he has his reasons.
Is he sexy, mysterious? I was going to say, is he hot?
Of course he is.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Total babe.
Fair enough. Sometime loop is Crunchyroll from memory.
Yeah.
I think. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, Kiralee, you've also been watching Dr. Elise, The Royal Lady with the Lamp, and this is something in a similar vein, isn't
it? Yeah, it's very similar. Very, very similar.
Okay, so I'm going to say... reincarnation story, female protagonist.
Yeah.
How does it go?
And a nice prince.
A good looking prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In classic Japan, taking like elements of like English real life and then changing them into a Japanese anime storyline.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
So she grows up in like the old-fashioned sort of English time, betrothed to the prince. Prince never loved her. Then the war happens and her family's like in cahoots with it, and then so she's murdered. The whole family's murdered. Because of the war. And then she's reincarnated into like today's time, where she decides to become a doctor and save as many people as possible. And then she ends up on a plane that crashes, and then she dies from that, and then she's brought back to the start of her first life, but she keeps all of the memories of being a doctor, so that she decides that she wants to be a doctor rather than marry the prince, because she knows now that the prince never loved her. And so she's like doing all this surgery stuff and like doing a tracheotomy in like broad daylight, and then she gets thrown in the
Could you imagine going like coming out of the Middle Ages into modern ages and then having to go back and not have like running water, like
so this
electricity
this is Dr. Elise's third time loop. Okay, but I'm guessing obviously because she's focusing on being a doctor, and then obviously as you said, she was doing something like proper modern surgery in medieval times. They're like, "What are you doing?" And gets in trouble.
I think there's only two doctors that know that she's doing the right thing, and one of those might be a handsome gentleman that is falling in love with her. And then the prince that never loved her before now possibly might love her now. So it's
merit.
Like this whole thing. But the royal family want her to marry the prince still. But she wants to be a doctor. So she has to get her license.
But kind of don't. mesh, yeah.
She has to get her license as a doctor to prove herself worthy.
Oh, in a time where she shouldn't even be able to read.
Yeah. No, never mind that. All right. From memory, Dr. Elise is also Crunchyroll. I mean, most of the ones this season have been Crunchyroll. Yeah. So, but yeah, sounds good. I've chosen the wrong way to use healing magic because that is the right way to use healing magic.
It's so good. Are you watching it?
I have not seen it.
Also an isekai.
Yeah.
No loops this time, though. So, the main character was accidentally brought along with two of his classmates who he was just getting to know, who are a guy and a girl who've been in the student council. They were meant to be summoned as the heroes to the other world, but he was accidentally dragged along in the summoning circle. And it turns out that he has healing magic, which in some areas of this magical kingdom is looked down upon. However...
No, it's incredibly rare.
It's incredibly
rare.
It's
not looked down upon. That'll
come later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't have spoilers, babes!
I forgot.
This is why you're not allowed to read the manga before you watch the anime with me now.
I didn't know this was getting an anime. Oh. I started reading this about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, when it first started being released. He gets summoned, and the other two, they've got, you know, what one's lightning, one's earth abilities, and they're being trained to be knights. But he gets kind of whisked away.
Light. Yeah.
He gets whisked away because there's a lady who runs a rescue squad, which run out into battle, into the battlefield, grab people, heal them, and rush them back to the tents for trauma treatment and stuff like that. And he goes through hellish training because she teaches him to use the magic that he's using to heal others to heal himself and to superpower himself.
Oh, wow.
So it's like casting the magic on yourself so you can overextend your body's limits.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's like I've never seen magic, healing magic used in this way before.
Yeah.
So it's like a really refreshing take on a healer who is, you know, healing the fatigue in their body after they're doing like running. And so he just runs for hours and hours and hours and hours because as soon as he gets tired, he just heals the fatigue away and he's all good again. Or like healing broken bones or splintered things after he jumps or is like doing push-ups and things. So yeah, he like levels up way faster than the actual heroes. And
does he still feel the pain?
Yes.
Yeah, and it kind of messes with his head a bit. His concept of normal has been broken.
Right.
But yeah, he's one of those never give up kind of people.
Really
of
stubborn.
He's like, yeah, stubborn. Yeah. Yeah, optimistically but, stubborn.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the lady who's training him, she's like the same type of person.
Mm.
And she's kind of, she's had trauma in her past, which means that she is looking for someone else to join her squad who she believes can't die on the battlefield.
Because she's previously lost.
I see.
The last person she was training.
Yeah.
Mm. They died.
Spoilers.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's kind of obvious.
It's kind of obvious.
Like, you don't even need her to say that out loud
but
to
it's,
get it.
It's really funny because when they found out he had healing magic in the capital, they were like, "Do not tell her." And everyone's like, "No, no, we don't know what's going on."
Oh,
don't.
No, he doesn't have any magic powers
at all. At all. It's like, you know, they're all like, you know, she's coming. Quick, hide him. So it's got a real comedy essence to it, and we've just started off with the Demon Kingdom trying to invade again. And that's kind of where the story's at the moment. And
right.
Yeah, it's like they're being getting ready for the invasion, getting prepared so that they can make sure that they don't lose.
Mm. It is very funny. Like, it's delightfully funny.
It got a lot of good slapstick comedy in it.
And the eventual love interest, I'm going to guess, and the main protagonist have a really good relationship at the moment.
I don't think they end up being...
do they not?
At least not where I've read up to, and I think I was about 60 chapters in.
That seems a little weird, because it feels like it's definitely careening that way.
I think it might have been light novel-based before it went into the manga form, though. So, maybe
you're not going to get to it until...
Yeah, it won't be this season, that's for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, unless they rewrite the story in that regard. Like, what is
but
it called?
It's a very healthy relationship between a boy and a girl.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's so refreshing.
Yeah. Also,
so
like,
nice.
the girl, she's been... the two friends from school who've come over with them, they're both, the guy and the other guy are in the same year, but the girl is the senior And she was the council president. And everyone thought she was, you know, prim, proper, knew exactly what she was doing in life. Mm-hmm. No. And then out of all of them getting isekai'd, she is the most excited. She is like, this is the best. I want to use magic. I can't wait. I had no idea what I was going to do after school. I was going to go to university, but I didn't know what I was going to study. I'm just here to be dope. It's great.
Yeah, I feel like that's always the way with that sort of person, though.
Yeah. But yeah, so look, it's also really good. Wrong Way to Use Yuling Magic. That is on Crunchyroll too. Now, we do have two others to mention from the team. Kenny is, of course, still evangelizing Dungeon Meshi. It's good. Go watch it.
It's pretty cute.
You know, it kind of breaks, as he pointed out, all the norms. You've got an elf who's not very thoughtful about life. She's clumsy. She's not elegant at all.
Yeah.
You've got a dwarf who has no interest in smithing.
He loves food.
Loves food.
You've got a rogue who
actually cares what happens to other people.
Feels guilty when he steals.
Yeah.
And you've got the classic white, blonde, blue-eyed, knight protagonist boy who turns out to be the weirdest out of all of them.
Yeah.
So, and it's
a
good.
Perfect mix.
Mm. I can't remember. And it's beautiful, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's beautifully animated. And then you've got Butchigiri, which Aaron has recommended. Now, I'm going to read you the synopsis that is on Wikipedia, because I think it just kind of takes a hook turn halfway through.
Yeah, I've never heard of this one.
So this is a shonen series, very much up Aaron's direction. It's being animated by MAPPA. Crunchyroll are airing it. It's after Arajin Tomoshibi returns to his hometown and reunites with his childhood friend Matakara Asamine, they become involved in fights between its gangs, and he meets the genie, Senya.
The genie.
I've got nothing. I don't know how to explain this. So my understanding is this is... I mean, it's airing at the moment, finishes April. It's got something to do with demons and otherworldly sort of supernatural stuff in a shonen setting and delinquents. So imagine delinquents in a high school going out and beating up demons instead of other gangs.
Okay, I was like, but one of them has a genie, that's what...
Yeah, so I think they get a genie in their thing. But I'm not going to go too deep into this. I'll just read a very quick... short synopsis someone wrote here as a review for why they recommend it. So I started reading this and I loved all the fellas in the story, but this show has style and heart in spades. Most people point out that it is just ripped out of late 90s, early 2000s anime. However, it is filled with the current pizzazz that newer anime have. I think one of the problems I could see happening here is the same issue Mashal and other overpowered main characters have, where it's hard to create a threat. However, I think that what this anime does well so far is the focus on an overarching story in homoeroticisms. Bless this anime for that.
What?
Sounds right up his alley then.
Yep. I mean, it's true. It is. It's right up his alley. He's also been watching Digimon Adventures Try Again. So Aaron, as we know, loves pain, clearly. So look, it sounds interesting. It might or might not be up your alley. If you generally like the stuff that Aaron recommends, this might be your cup of tea. So that's Butchigiri. That's on Crunchyroll as well. And with
that... If you generally like the stuff that Aaron recommends...
Yeah. You like this?
No, I was like, don't contact us. What is wrong with you?
It's just Aaron. We're going to get emails from Aaron now. That's what's going to happen. You're horrifying. How dare you? With that, let's jump on to our main topic for this episode, Card Captors.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so good.
It's so 80s.
Nani?
Retro classics.
It says a lot that 2004 is now a cutoff for retro classics. 20 years.
Ouch.
Yeah.
2004, I'd left. That was my last year of high school. I feel old. I am old. So we are talking Card Captors. Now, Card Captor Sakura, the full title, this came out in 1998 to 2000 as an anime in Japan. Manga started in 1996 to 2000, and it's written by Clamp. They're an all-female group of Japanese mangaka led by group director and writer Okama Nanase, with artists Makona and Nekoi Tsubaki and Igarashi Satsuki. Now, they were originally a bigger group when they first started out, but Clamp is kind of... they're an icon.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Like their art style, their style of storytelling, it's beautiful, and they kind of stand apart now. And Cardcaptor Sakura is one of those manga which really drew a lot of attention to them. Now, all three of us grew up seeing it in some capacity. And we've got a lot to talk about here because the story itself is... the story's great, but the adaptation for Western audiences was all over the shop.
And we'll, it's just like, which one?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get into that. But this was animated by Madhouse back in the day. Original run in Japan was 70 episodes. And then we've had Clear Card, which is the continuation of the story as well, which is ongoing in the manga.
Two movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. One of those movies had a completely different dub cast and arguably was the best dub as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty crazy that. So, yeah. Now, if you haven't heard of Cardcaptors, it's about a 10-year-old girl called Sakura Kinomoto. What was the English name? Started with A.
Oh, I don't know. I just knew her as
Sakura. Yeah. Valid.
No, it was Sakura.
Sakura. Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's focused on Sakura. She's an ordinary fourth grade student living in Tomoda until one day she stumbles upon a mysterious book of cards titled The Clow. Aside from it being a surname, is there any other reference to Clow?
No, it's just a guy's name.
Yeah, it's his last name. Okay. Magician guy.
Yeah. Pondering her discovery, she unintentionally causes a magical gust of wind to scatter the cards all over town, and it awakens the beast of the seal, Keroberos, nicknamed Kero, who tells Sakura that she has released the mystical Clow cards created by the sorcerer Clow Reed. Due to each card's ability to act independently and their incredible power, they now have to go and find them and seal them back away because they were sealed away for a reason. And they pose a great danger to everyone in the town and the world. So it's up to Cardcaptor Sakura to do so.
With so obviously, cute.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, she has help on the way. Her best friend Tomoya, or Madison, as she is in the English dub.
Seems like such a far stretch.
I know.
Right. But like, I approve of the name Madison for her. For some reason, she does seem like a Madison to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, generally, don't they try and like careen closer to...
They do.
Tomoya. Madison. No.
I just gave
it's
up.
It's not.
But the actual manga won the 32 Seiyun Awards for Best Manga in 2001. So after it finished... It's got a lot of respect for it in the community. There's a lot of love for it, a lot of nostalgia. And she and recently the fashion website did a huge collaboration with it.
They sure did.
So, where do we want to start with this? Because this episode has taken a while for us to get to. I think we started this like 7-8 months ago. You first saw it growing up, I'm guessing, Kelly.
Yeah. Okay. I think it was on Toasted TV.
Cheese TV, Toasted
Cheese,
TV.
Yeah.
It was during that crossover.
Say, this episode is brought to you by Cheese TV.
Yeah.
Every millennial child's introduction to anime, pretty much.
I should really try and get hold of them again.
I watched it every day before going to school.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was like my thing that I would do.
Yeah. She was like one of the first iconic magical girls. She was like one of the OG magical girls.
Yeah. She was
same time as Sailor Moon.
Yeah, she was mine over Sailor Moon for sure.
Sailor Moon was over her for me.
Now, Sailor Moon literally started the year before. As far as on Toasted TV.
Yeah, just because Sailor Moon was my first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they had a break in the Sailor Moon broadcast. They brought out Sakura for us, and then they went back to Sailor Moon with both of them for a while there between a season break and that. It was all over the shop.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, you never knew what you were going to get on Cheese TV. But
yeah, they change it on different days as well.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you guys remember, but like that bookstore that used to come to like all the schools and they'd have like all the I wanted this one Cardcaptor book that it was like a sleepover thing and it had like quizzes in it.
Aww.
And I got that and I was so happy and I'm trying to find it at my mum's house and I can't find it. And I'm so worried that she's given it away.
Was it like Scholastic?
Scholastic.
Yeah.
Scholastic Book Club, yeah.
We didn't have no money for Scholastic
No, we
books.
Didn't.
Well, we didn't either, but it was like this one. I was like,
This is the one. I think the only thing we ever got from Scholastics was a Animorphs book for me and my brother. But yeah, Scholastic was like the equivalent of like the mail order book club in the 90s and 2000s in Australia. And they were one of the major publishers for like educational materials as well. So they were well embedded in schools, but they had
flyers out to schools.
Yeah.
And then like every kid would get a flyer and you could go through
and
the flyer and order the books.
And the school would organise the order. So it came to the school.
Yeah.
And, it was like, it was cool. It was imagine having access to Amazon when you were at school.
It's like when they used to have the show bag, like magazines in the paper.
Oh,
yeah, I love that.
For the
it's
Royal
like window
show.
Shopping, but for children.
Yeah. And you're right. There were all sorts of things in there. There were like sticker books and like you could get like labels, keychains.
Yeah.
Fidget toys.
Yeah.
Well, the
I'm
early
so mad ones. Seeing the toys that America got. Then like Australia got card. We got nothing for card captors, right? But they got like cloud books with all the cards in them and like Sakura dolls. I literally would have killed someone for the cloud cards as a child.
Please don't commit murder.
No, because now I have adult money. I can buy them my damn self. But like as a child, all I had was unbridled rage. Nothing
else. Look. Fair. now, we're kind of digressing a bit on Scholastic and like the materials and stuff that we got around that time. But this is probably the most confusing dub story of an anime I've seen.
I only roughly know about it.
Yeah.
I
have stories to share with you all. So there are multiple different English dubs and casts.
Yeah.
There were one of the dub that is most commonly used now, no one actually knows when it was recorded, but it was sometime between 2004 and 8. That's it.
Ah.
So we've got one of them.
We've got the 2004 to 8 one.
And because I asked Kyle, I was like, I need Card Captors, I need to watch it again. So we downloaded it and I was like, this isn't it. This isn't the one.
And that's
what
because
is this?
The one that is on all streaming platforms, all digital media, and all Blu-rays is the second dub, not the first dub.
I think I might have the first dub at home.
You do, because in Australia, we were one of the places to get the original dub.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, here's the story. In 2000, the original Canadian dub was licensed by Nelvana and dubbed by Ocean Productions in Canada, and which was the version we got in Australia. This adapted all 70 of them, all 70 of the original episodes. However, they heavily altered the story. They replaced the soundtrack and many sound effects, especially if they couldn't take the sound effect apart from a voice track.
Can you like insert like in your post insert part of the song that we got in Australia?
Yeah. And then they also dubbed the OP and the ED. Now this is for the Canadian version. Now this one was released in the UK, Australia, but for some reason, despite it being made in Canada, it wasn't released in the US. Other changes included character names to sound more Western, the removal of any same-sex relationships or crushes, such as Sakura's brother Toya and Yukito, and Tomoya or Madison, obviously being kind of having undertones there. The removal of Sakura's mother being her dad's student when they were in high school.
Yes. Yep. Wait, what was that?
The mother of Sakura. She was a student when she met Sakura's father, who was her teacher.
He was a teacher.
Yep.
Because I forgot that, right? I had blanked. Yeah. That was in the vault, you know? Yeah. And then I was watching it again and I was like, what?
Wait a minute.
You married her as soon as she graduated. Awesome. That's so weird.
So there were also some other changes to story beats and conversations, and it was more a rewriting of the original tale for what they thought Western audiences want.
It was an adaptation of the adaptation of the manga.
Adaptation of the manga, yeah.
So
then...
But is... So the...
So that's the original dub from 2000. Right. That's the one we got.
But so is there a Japanese one where they have all of that included?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the original one is like... It's got all the...
Pioneer released that in about 2000 to 2003. Mm. We'll get to that because they went and released the full Japanese version with the original subtitles as well. But that subtitle translation has never been adapted.
Right.
Not properly. Kids Warner Brothers, Kids WB, which is a channel in the US, then took that Nelvana dub, the 70 episode, and they re-edited it. Again, and this is why everyone thought 4Kids did it, because it's what 4Kids would have done.
They re-edited it down to 39 episodes. Mm-hmm.
They changed the order and the number of episodes. Yeah. Episode 8 was episode 1.
Because they angled to have it as a... They advertised it as a shonen.
Yep. They marketed the series to boys, trying to make the series seem action-orientated with a focus on Sakura and Lee being rivals.
Yeah.
So they also changed the OP and ED, that's weird, and made the series kind of a monster slash card of the week style production. And because all of the cards weren't included, because they'd cut out half the episodes, they threw in flashbacks to explain where the card had come from. And it's like, okay.
And so they downplayed all love interests.
Yeah.
Like the parents, Sakura, and the brothers, that was all gone.
Mm-hmm.
The very first episode of that series was the episode where Lee is introduced.
Episode 8, and they renamed it Sakura's Rival. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't see the cards getting released except for in a flashback.
Mm.
You don't find out about Kero. He's just already there. And Sakura's always been the card captor.
Yeah, and she...
Also, this is for boys. I swear this is for boys. So Lee is totally the rival. There's definitely no reference to love. They actually cut it out completely. So the final episode, the critical parts of that last episode are gone.
Ah. Yeah, so it's all dumbed down.
Yeah.
So dumbed down. Yeah. They even shoehorned in the same shots from other episodes to kind of fill them out a bit because they cut so much out.
Like, zoom in awkwardly on it and it's but like, but the footage is already compressed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then they have to insert audio to make it make sense, but the mouth flapping isn't right.
Yeah.
So they either have the person speaking is off screen,
right,
so you don't see them, or they insert a hideous just mouth open, like little.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
The thing is that the editing is so bad. I think people have done better jobs on AMVs.
Oh yeah,
like from the 90s and 2000 AMVs,
sure.
And they're going, and this was done by a major company. What a surprise!
Yeah.
So look, this was the version that most American kids, USA kids, would have grown up with.
My thoughts and prayers to America.
Yeah. So this then in 2000, the Pioneer Entertainment released that Kids Warner Brothers dubbed version over 9 VHS and DVD volumes from 2000 to 2002, but they also at the same time were releasing the unedited Japanese version with English subtitles, which was 18 DVDs and ran from 2000 to 2003. So it tells you the difference in content. Like, there was a lot.
Which one was the one where they had everything in English except they kept the Japanese opening, which is the one that we've got?
Yeah, that's the original Canadian dub, the Nelvana dub, which was done, and then Kids Warner Brothers cut that down even further and they changed things again.
That wasn't the original dub.
Yes, it was.
Because that's not the one I've watched.
No, that's not the one you've watched. The one you've watched was the second dub.
I thought you said it was the first one.
Nope.
No?
This is the dub done by Animax Asia, and it is one of the only examples of an Animax Asia dub being used outside of Asia. So that tells you like how little these are used. This was released sometime between 2004 and 2008. The exact date is not known. It was produced by Red Angel Media in Hong Kong, targeting the Southeast Asian market, specifically English-speaking audiences in Southeast Asia, including Singapore and Hong Kong.
Are you sure? Because we watched part of the Hong
positive.
Kong one, and that's not the right voice.
No, the Hong Kong one is the one we have.
The one we have?
Yeah.
Okay, the one we have is terrible.
Yeah,
and
it
I
is
hate it.
Awful.
But they do have the Japanese opening, and then the rest is
yep,
in English.
Yep, this is another thing again. So the
I'll
go through it. Dub one was done by Nelvana. It had the original OP and ED, but they kept the same music, but they dubbed it. So they dubbed the opening into English.
That's the one we got?
No. It's the one we got in Australia, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's the original dub.
Yes.
Then dub 1.5, if you will, is the one done by Kids Warner Brother. They took that original dub and chopped it up even more and added their own stuff in.
Which America got.
Right. And then you've got the Animax dub, which is dub 2, a second official dub, whole new cast, whole new team, whole new dubbing. And it is soulless. It is bad.
It's pretty bad.
This is the dub that is released on the Blu-ray. It is the one that we have on the streaming platforms. It is the one that you can buy on Amazon for, like, you know, the direct-to-home video and all that. This is the one that they are saying is the most accurate to the source material. And it's just awful. It is so badly acted. There is no heart to it. It could do with so much chopping and changing and cutting.
Yeah, and the music that they use, like the sound effects,
mm-hmm.
there's like a lot of wah wah kind of like horns.
Yeah.
You know when they have like the embarrassment kind of or
yeah.
And they have that
like
that,
slapstick.
Yeah, yeah, like that slapstick trombone. Yeah. And I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is like really, really bad.
Yeah.
So,
and that's also not in the original Japanese version either. They do have like that sort of incidental music, but it's not as obnoxious
as the Animax dub. No, because that kind of wah-wah noises is English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much. So that's just like, this is the dub that we get everywhere. And this is, in fairness, the most accurate to the source material, but it is by far out of all of them the worst performance from a dub cast.
Mm.
And yet this is the default one. And then there was, there's two more dubs to cover, but they're not for this. They did a completely new cast for the second film, which is Cardcaptor Sakura 2, Movie 2, The Sealed Cards. This had a full new dub cast. It was done by Bang Zoom Digital Entertainment in 2003. And these guys have been doing dubs for animes, well, for decades. And they're still going today. And they're one of the major ones who do the dubbing for Crunchyroll. This is probably the strongest out of all the dubs. And it's a disappointment that these voice actors weren't used for the original cast because the chemistry was good. We've only seen little bits and pieces from it on YouTube. It's so much better than all of the other dubs.
Is this the one where, like, the brother, the friend, and Kiro all ended up being Ed and Eddie?
And also, they were all three voice actors who did Ed and Eddie from
Nickelodeon's Ed and Eddie.
Yeah, which is just
so weird. Mwah,
perfect. So, was it Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network?
Wow.
It's hard to know.
Maybe it was Cartoon Network.
I think it might have been Cartoon Network.
I don't know. I didn't have Foxtel going up.
But unfortunately, this was probably the strongest dub cast out of all of the dubs because the characters, like the actors, seem to really know the characters.
Mm.
And then you've got the clear card. So the new season, which the manga started in 2014, 20... Yeah, no, it might have been 2016. It was 20 years after the original manga when they started to continue it. Now, this Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card is them in high school now.
Junior
high school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same, but different. So it's been a couple of years, either way.
So she's like basically in like year 8.
Yeah. So the dub for this is apparently substantially better. The people who were doing the dub, it was done through Funimation, and this was done to kind of connect with some other Clamp series where Sakura and Lee also are shown up. So they use the same voice actors for them from those shows, even though they're different dimensions in the Clamp universe, if you will. And the problem here is the manga is ongoing. The manga still hasn't been finished, and the adaptation did all the setup, but it didn't actually resolve anything within the run of the series by the sounds of it. And it seems like there will have to be a season 2 to actually resolve that because the manga wasn't done. And they didn't try and just wrap it up either.
Yeah.
So the question is, which is the best dub? Because it's hard.
It's ours.
Our dub?
The one that we had.
Yeah.
100%. We made a dub? I didn't know we made a dub.
You know what I mean?
Can I be Lee?
The Canadian
dub.
Yeah.
So I think for us, at least, the version that we saw, we're always going to feel is superior.
Yeah, obviously, because
Cause,
because of nostalgia,
yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of the way it is, isn't it? Like, the version you first saw will be the one that sits in your mind. It's kind of like that argument about Final Fantasy. Whichever the first Final Fantasy game you play is will always be the one that you remember
the fondest. I mean, at
the
very least, I think we can all agree that the WB was the worst.
Oh.
Just
no,
how they butchered it.
Well, no. Kids WB, at least the voice acting was from the original one,
yeah,
but the story was butchered. But the Animax dub's voice acting is awful.
It's pretty bad.
Like, we were trying to watch it earlier today, and it's just like...
Yeah, I tried to watch it from the start again, and I...
Yeah.
I got to, like, episode 12, and I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And then I just tried to skip ahead, because in Australia, like, we never got, as far as I'm aware... the entire thing. Like, I have not seen the end of Cardcaptors because I just haven't had access to it. Yeah.
And now you've got access to it, but you don't want to put up with it.
Bad one.
I might have to borrow your DVDs,
rip
the audio tracks out,
then
download the files to my computer off Crunchyroll, and then sync the audio tracks.
Because I'm not quite sure. Because I've got, two DVDs from back in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have, I then bought the recent full set.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if the full set has the new
Is the full set on Blu-ray or DVD?
Well, it's on DVD, but you could also get it on Blu-ray when I bought it.
So that'll
it
could be the Animax dub.
Yeah, so I've got like the new and the old up to a certain point.
I'm just going to have to put the hands together and smash them together. This is a project for me. I'm just going to have to
So like the old DVDs, do they have the English opening?
I couldn't tell you. I'm pretty sure it's like what we watched on TV. It's the same. Because I've watched them and, you know, not felt any different.
Yeah.
And then kind of recent-ishly, I put it on again to play it for Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you trying to watch it again, being like, something's not quite right with this. I don't know what it is, and I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
But she was enjoying it.
So it might have been that was from your collected Blu-ray set.
Yeah. I tried to get my nieces into it. Nah.
Well, I mean, this dub was pretty bad. I think I'm going to blame the dub.
That's true.
Yeah, it's so bad, the Animax dub. Like, I don't mean to be rude to them, but it's just... It's stilted. It's like people just reading lines. Like, they had no context for what the show was going to be in. And sometimes the lines are just...
It's got the really terrible accent.
Yeah.
This is the Sakura.
Yeah.
Sakura and Shaoran.
And it's inconsistent as well. Like, in some scenes they say the name's right and others they say it wrong. It's like, anyway. Enough complaining about the actual... the dubbing of it. So, this is a series that... As we mentioned, we all grew up with. And I think it's kind of funny that it's well known by everyone, like from our age bracket, but not everyone remembers it very well. And for us three, at least, we all watched it on Cheese TV Channel 10. So my question.
What's our favorite outfit from it?
The cat one.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, the black and the black cat with the pink.
Yeah.
And
you
it's
liked
rubber.
The yellow one, didn't you?
I liked the yellow one with like the skirt that looked like an umbrella.
The techie
Oh, I like the poofy pant one.
I knew that's what I was also thinking of. I liked the one where she had like.
The jester one
was good.
The blue jester when she was fighting the rain card.
It was good.
Now I know.
I really liked the fight card. I'm sad that I haven't seen enough people like cosplaying as the cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, because we were saying this when we were watching it because it was the shot card on the episode we were watching, and we were like, you know, what's going on, and then. It's an actual character from the card that has crashed down onto the ground when they managed to reflect it using the mirror card. And
you didn't know.
I didn't know. And I'm like,
I knew.
Are the cards people?
No, they're just anthropomorphized.
Versions of the cards,
Yeah, pretty much. But most of them have like a human form.
Yeah.
But the fight card in particular is like just... excellent design.
I love the rain card, though.
The rain card's adorable.
So cute.
But so is the mirror card. The mirror card's so beautiful.
And the black and the white.
Yeah,
the black-white card.
Yeah.
Kenny will hurt me if I don't mention it because he's said this ever since we made him watch it a while ago. So Kenny didn't get – he wasn't living in the Perth city. He was living out in the country. And
he was living out back.
Out back in the bush.
nothing but kangaroo shooting and
– And wine because he was in wine country.
to play with.
But they didn't get Channel 10, which had Card Captors and Cheese TV on it. So he hadn't seen it, and I said, "Oh, here, have a look." And he's like, "Is she fighting a kaiju in the first episode? Which is the wind card, isn't it? The fly card.
The fly card.
The fly card. And
she keeps
and
the wind card.
The windy thunder.
I believe
is in the same episode.
I think you might be right. Yeah,
two, isn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I never thought of it that way. It's like it's the first episode of a Japanese series, and she fights a kaiju. It's like, wow, this is a little bit on the nose.
It surprises me how WB was trying to spin it into a shonen.
Yeah.
Because some of the cards, especially like the flower card, are just there to have a nice time.
Wasn't she trying to bury people in cherry blossoms?
Not on purpose. She was not just having a good time.
But if she was still killing people, she was still killing people. Come on.
How many monsters in Shonen have you seen? Well, these monsters are just having a nice time. Godzilla's not just having a nice time.
Valid.
And oh, well, people are just the incendiary kind of like...
You might not think Godzilla's having a good time, but Godzilla's having a great time.
Yes,
this
but
is
it's
a
not...
smorgasbord for Godzilla.
They don't spell that out. But like, yeah, some of the, you know, like the mirror card as well.
Yeah.
She didn't mean harm.
This is true. It wasn't harm on purpose.
Yeah, a lot of them aren't like going out deliberately to
There's
hurt
no malice
anyone.
To a lot of them.
I think it's the jump card, and it's like this little like this puffball thing
pink
that looks
rabbit thing.
Yeah, that looks like a toy, and it's like hiding in the toys.
Oh yeah.
And then somebody goes and buys it, takes it home, but then it jumps back into the shop.
And then takes all the stuffed toys with them. So it's like
when she comes to fight them and then makes it into this big like mecha like stuffed toy, like fighting machine.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. There's something I've noticed. That toy shop is the nexus for so many problems.
Oh, with Maggie?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something up with Maggie.
But
I don't know what it is, and I don't know if it gets explained or not.
I don't think it does, but her name's also not Maggie.
It is in the English dub.
Well, in both the Animax and the original dub, she was called Maggie, but her name in Japanese is something completely different, like completely removed, because of course it is. But one thing I like is that the voice actress, the Japanese voice actress for Sakura, is also called Sakura.
It's her
given name.
That's cute.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of cute. That's some good casting. And she, if you've listened to the Japanese dub, you'll know it's good cast. Mm. It's well done.
Mm.
But yeah.
Can we talk about how weird Madison is, though?
Yes.
Oh, me, though.
Like,
love it.
Yeah.
Obsessive.
Like, I want to dress you.
Yeah. It's like, do you want to dress her or do you want to wear her? Like, what's going on? And then Madison's mum as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was obsessed.
Well, look.
With Sakura's mum.
Yeah.
Like.
I think potentially
Family.
Yeah.
Where Madison's hair is as long as it is because her mum likes it because it reminds her of her dead best friend.
So that's why. Was Madison's dead best friend also a lady?
Sakura's mum.
Oh.
So
right.
Sakura's mum and Madison's mum were best friends in high school. And then Sakura's mum married her teacher.
Yep. Yeah.
As someone who works in education.
I'm seeing some parallels to the daughters now.
It's bad. So then, yeah, they, when she died, the mum of Madison, it like has Madison grow her hair out because Sakura's mum had
long hair.
Stunning locks, like classic clamp style hair.
Well, do you think that's why? Maybe Madison's mum pushes Madison to like Sakura because it's her daughter.
Yeah, maybe. Did she know, though? I don't think she knew originally. As in, like, she met Madison before Madison's mum knew who Sakura was.
I mean, I think they met in school, but I wouldn't be surprised if, like, she went, oh, she's going to that school. We'll make sure you go to that school as well.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm pretty sure there's an episode where... They met for the first time.
And discovers.
And she was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. We're going to have to finish it. We're going to have to.
Hashimoto? Sakura Hashimoto, is it? But I don't know what her English one is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Can't remember.
Oh, Avalon.
Avalon.
Avalon. That's the surname for the English dub.
Interesting.
It's an unusual choice.
It's French, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny anyway. Madison had like this book already made of all the designs for the clothes even before she became a card captor. So cute.
Also, like, it kind of says a lot that Madison's family is very rich.
Yeah.
Oh, like, not even very rich. Like crazy rich.
I have a theory, and it's a dark theory. They claimed the life insurance from her best friend. Invested it. No. do we need a dark reboot of Cardcaptors? Probably not.
How did she die? Did she die in childbirth?
Hmm.
I don't think so.
No.
Because did Sakura actually meet her mum? I can't remember.
I'm going to ask Cardcaptor's mum.
Because you remember that episode where, I think it was the mirror card, where she thought she saw her mum on that cliff kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then there was that whole thing. And then the brother?
Does it say the death?
It does, and it also says something a little bit weird about her potentially being the mother of both children.
What?
Of Madison as well.
I think I might have misread that. That's what I'm trying
to... Yeah, I think so.
I was like, that doesn't sound...
I think we would have known.
Right.
Yeah.
Tomoyo is the best friend and primary assistant of Sakura Kuminamoto and her second cousin on their mother's sides. Okay, so they're related.
Oh. How?
The second cousin.
Yeah, but that's... What does that mean? So, are they... They have the same grandmother? Is that what that means?
A second cousin on their mother's side. So, the mothers were cousins.
Right, so they have...
Yeah, so they then have the same grandmother.
So, they have the same great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother. Yeah. So, they are related.
Okay.
Reason. Okay, so there we go. That's you learn something new every day. And then we've got see there's not a lot written in here. Like, Nadeshiko Kinomoto is Sakura and Toya's mother. And first cousin of Sonomi Daidoji, which is Madison's mum. She worked as a model from her teens up until her death. She was 16 when she met Fujitaka, and he worked as a student teacher at her high school.
Are they really cousins?
She met Fujitaka when she climbed a tree to rescue a bird nest and accidentally fell and landed on him as he saved her from getting hurt.
Yeah.
Because she was 27 when she died and Sakura was 3 and Toya was 10, it is unlikely that she gave birth to Toya at 17. Although she has died, she is still very much remembered and loved by her family. So there was a 9-year age gap between the father and the daughter. He was 25, she was 16. Father and wife, sorry. But they make a good point. Like, if she died, it is likely she gave birth to Toya at 17. So that, yeah.
Yeah. So immediately.
Immediately, there's problems here.
Immediately.
But yeah, it doesn't state the cause of death.
He was just waiting for her to not be jailbait.
Exactly. Well, I mean, depends where you are in Japan. Not so much an issue now. Now they have a legal age of consent and all that. But until during the period when this was written, some areas you could get married as young as 13.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're in love.
Yeah. It is. Oh, she was. Her name was changed to Natasha. So from Nadeshiko to Natasha in the dub. So
that's
right. Either way, now we know how horrifying that could potentially be.
not potentially.
Is. Anyway, aside from the problematic things, considering this was written over 20 years ago.
Don't you just love finding out that your childhood precious memories are like not okay when you're an adult?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of songs we grew up with now. As adults, you go, not okay. Anyway, you can watch Cardcaptors on quite a few places. It's on Netflix in a lot of countries. It's on Crunchyroll at the moment, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
This will have the that second dub that was done by Hong Kong. So if
it does start to get confusing, though, with the new clear card.
Yeah.
I tried to start watching it. I kind of have not.
Yeah.
Because it started to get a bit too much and isn't the same feeling as the original.
Yeah.
Like with the doppelganger thing, I was I can't get aboard that.
Mm.
Yeah, this is the thing as well. Like, even though it is the same creative team, they've had 20 years in between. They've gone through a lot. They have changed a lot. They wrote the original Cardcaptors when they were in their 20s. Then now in their 50s, most of them.
I'll still buy the merch for Clear Card, but I don't know if I could watch it.
The cards are beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Yeah. I feel like they just wanted to introduce a new card design, and I'm here for that because they are stunning.
So
yeah.
I'm here for the merch. I don't care about the show.
Yeah. Yeah, straight up.
I do also wonder if the adaptation's not as good because they didn't know where they were going to go with it. I think they rushed it out because, like, oh, the manga's going and people are buying stuff for it. We should put an anime out.
I feel like it's so hard. Maybe they should have redone the whole anime from the start.
In the modern style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would have been nice.
Yeah, it would have been difficult though because to pick a style that complements it rather than... Because like the new Sailor Moon, I don't like it.
The art style.
I don't like that style at all.
It kind of doesn't... It feels too shiny for something that is so nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like it's still a good story. It's still fun to watch, but... Like, especially if it's something you grew up with, like that nostalgic art style, the more flat, as like a lot of more modern animes have a lot more shadow work done. They're more refined. So you can tell that, you know, that pole is curved as opposed to appearing flat.
Yeah.
And that's if you've grown up with that, and this is obviously sound like an old biddy, but if you've grown up with that art style with that series, you associate that series with it. It's why a lot of people have a hard time if they grew up watching Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z to adapting to the new Dragon Ball Super shiny curve. You can see shadows on cheekbones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and now it's gone full CG, so.
It's just more the story of it that I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like the story.
Oh, fair enough.
I wish they kept it simple.
I mean, when you think about it, it's just, hey, we've got these cards and
get them.
You've collected them and do it again now.
And they were like, yeah, first season, she releases all these cards. She has to go get them. Second season, the cards have changed. Go get them. Third season. Up, the cards have changed.
They're clear now. Go get them.
Yeah. The movie. Oh, mystery card. Go get it.
And it's always the same order as well, which I think is kind of a bit of a disservice. Like, you know, it's all the nothing is always the last card, and it will always be the last card. It's been the last card twice. It'll be the last card again. And it's all about the growth of Sakura. So it's definitely not shonen and definitely not action. It's adventure, sure, but it's more about It's more shoujo oriented. It's more slice of life, focusing on the interactions of the characters and how they grow. So, look, it's not going to be for everyone. I think at the time when it aired initially, it was the perfect time for it to air.
Mm.
You know, it may not have aged as well, especially the dub, but it still holds a special place for a lot of us, and for good reason. It was a very instrumental part of kind of introducing that magical girl concept to the Western audiences, for those who didn't perhaps see, you know, Sailor Moon and so on.
Yeah, it is one of the OG archetypes for the magical girl. It
definitely is. As we said, you can watch it in plenty of places. Netflix, Crunchyroll, DVD, Blu-ray, so on, Amazon Prime, all the good places. If you just have a look online and just search for Cardcaptor Sakura, watch online, you will find a link. It'll be the first link. I think Apple TV even sell it now. So, like, it's everywhere. But with that, let's talk about what's been making some anime news.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
Oh, let's kick off with controversy. Crunchyroll Anime Awards have gone out and it's still broken. It's still broken. Plenty going on as always, but what a surprise. Let me tell me if you saw this coming. So the animes last year, which won most of the awards, and this is me being bitter old man hat, Jujutsu Kaisen, Attack on Titan, Chainsaw Man, and Demon Slayer.
Yeah, no surprises.
Yeah, no surprises. Yep. Oshinoko did get the best anime song, but not the best opening.
Who got best OP?
Jujutsu Kaisen.
For the latest one?
No, not for special. For the one in the first one. Yep. Spy X Family got best comedy. Bocchi the Rock got best slice of life. And Horimiya and the Missing Pieces, which is actually a bit of a mess, got best romance. Now, if you saw a couple of episodes back, we did our review of the past 12 months. Sure, Jujutsu Kaisen was amazing. Sure, Chainsaw Man was good. Demon Slayer was good. But they weren't the be-all and end-all, and they have taken the lion's share.
Yes, but you have to think of Crunchyroll's demographic, wider, broader audience.
You've also got to think about Crunchyroll's voting rules.
Yeah, it's not the niche freaks like us.
We're not niche freaks.
We watch, like, everything.
We don't watch not everything,
just
but
what's on the main channel.
Well, it's not just that, but the problem that we have with Crunchyroll's Anime Awards is that you don't get to vote just once.
Mm.
You can just keep voting. So it leans itself. So they've conveniently removed the rules for voting off the website immediately as soon as they closed it. But if you go back on Wayback Machine, you can see them. And they do say, as in prior years, in every other section, so you can vote every day during the voting period. Yep. So this means you can vote every day, which skews the voting in favor of people who have excessive time on their hands or are obsessed with certain series.
Who would want to do that, though?
Well, do you...
Obsessed fans.
I think I know
Attack
why they do
Titan
that.
Attack on Titan fans.
Do you know why they do that, though?
Engagement.
Yeah, it increases traffic to the page, which then they can sell to their marketers.
Yep. But the problem is that, obviously, it's the most vocal fans who have the most time in their hands who can vote on it. It doesn't give you a good cross-section of your audience or your demographic. Though, admittedly, in Crunchyroll's case, they probably already have that data. So, yep, that's, once again, a bit odd. But Jujutsu Kaisen got Best Anime of the Year, and valid, it was one of our selections for the Best Anime of the Year. But it also got Best Character Design, Best Cinematography.
Yeah.
Best opening sequence, best ending sequence, best director, best supporting character, best action, best VA performance in Japanese, French, Portuguese, and German.
Well, I can't speak to those, but sure.
Chainsaw Man, best VA performance, Italian, Spanish, Castilian, English, and then best new series.
Tell you, Mashal's opening is a banger.
Exactly, yeah.
People best are obsessed.
Best original anime went to Buddy Daddy.
It's amazing, I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, either way, like, as always, we're pretty critical on Crunchyroll on that. And as you said, there is a reason Crunchyroll is doing it the way they're doing it. It's not for the right reasons, though. And, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Crunchyroll. It's like...
Well, I've got more controversy for you.
You know?
Crunchyroll confirms they are testing AI for subtitling. So they are testing generative AI for different workflows. This was apparently revealed in an interview with The Verge as part of its Dakota podcast. So the president, Rahul Perini, confirmed that the company is testing the use of generative AI, artificial intelligence, on subtitles and closed captioning. It's an effort to optimize their processes. Not how it works.
It's going to tell you something's going to slip and it's going to be an absolute, like,
yeah,
show.
Look, to be fair, some of those, like, technical mishaps have given us, like, some of the best memes in the world.
Yeah.
Like, how the Babadook is a queer icon.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Yeah, but was that because of AI or was that because of just people being bad, such as you set us up the bomb as a bad translation?
I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it was put on Netflix under LGBTQIA+ rather than horror. Yeah, that's how they categorized it.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they categorized in there, and then and the queer community was like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know what?
Because
yeah.
Then he stands like this.
Yeah, he's got the jazz hands. He's got, you know, he's got the fit.
Yeah.
Yeah? Brilliant.
Okay. Babadook is a queer item.
Oh, no. So good. The memes that came out of it. Oh, yeah.
Now, there's more controversy from Crunchyroll. So you might have heard that Crunchyroll is closing down Funimation's app properly. It's only taken them, what, 4 years since the takeover? 3 years? They are going to then, because they're closing the Funimation app, if you've got a digital version of Funimation film or series in your library in Funimation, like, you know, if you bought some of the Funimation DVDs and Blu-rays, you'd get a code to access it online. Or if you bought them directly from them for new releases, gone.
Oh, really?
You lose it.
Wow.
Crunchyroll is apparently going to compensate digital owners with appropriate value. They do not specify what that is.
No, of course not.
And it is going to be on a person-by-person basis, but they do not say what it will be. And most people who have tried to actually engage with them to find it out have had no luck.
All of this that I'm hearing is just Crunchyroll money-grabbing harder than ever.
It's Sony.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Crunchyroll did make missteps before they were taken over by Sony Funimation. Since then, Funimation ruined their brand so much in the lead up to the takeover. Like, they destroyed their brand in Australia because of how they treated Anime Lab and the takeover from there.
Yeah.
They destroyed their brand in the US because of how they handled dubs and industry payments and contracts, because they were like, no, we don't want to pay you a fair price. We're going to send you to a place where there are no unions, so you can't get the minimum wage and stuff like that to do the dubs. Mm-hmm. They bought Crunchyroll, and they've retired the Funimation brand because it's associated with bad press. But they're doing the same with Crunchyroll. So Crunchyroll's going to be associated with bad press too.
Yeah.
So
that's why it's already there.
Yeah. Because Sony isn't learning.
People who like anime as money.
Yeah.
It's just money.
It's very Sony. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I've been whinging about Sony for years, so, you know. It is what it is.
Mm.
Anyway, let's move on to some good news. So, The Boy and the Heron, the latest Miyazaki film, has won the Best Animated Film at the BAFTAs. That is the British awards ceremony. That is.
How do they categorize, like, to all these award shows? Like, how did they get into the BAFTAs?
They always have, like, a minimum requirement. Like, it must have been aired in the region of the awards between a set period. Mm. It must have had a proper cinema run. And so on, and then
what
it goes
was he
to the
up
audience.
Against?
Chicken Run, The Dawn of the Nugget.
Such a good movie.
Is it?
Yeah, I watched it with my kids. My kids love it. Like, I'm sure it would be. Chicken Run is exceptional.
Elemental and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Elemental
and Super Mario Bros. Movie as well.
Oh,
so yeah, as you can see, like it's good that it came up against those. Now, it has won, you know, a lot of awards in different areas. It won the Best Motion Picture Animated at the 81st Golden Globes Awards in January as well. Alliance of Women Film Journalists gave it the Best Animated Film Award for 2023. Mayanichi Film Awards announced that it would receive the Nobura Ofuji Award. Like, it's raining awards.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, we saw it in the cinema.
Yeah, because I missed out and didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
Oh, yeah. It's really good. It kind of really meshes Miyazaki's old, like, Howl's Moving Castle style of animation with modern.
Kind of,
yeah.
There's like water and food that you just want to like squish because it's so like beautifully squishy and rounded and soft.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of that. But they also brought in like a new style of animation that we had never really seen before that perfectly articulated the emotion of the scene.
Mm. Right.
There was a fire, basically.
Oh,
it's the first scene.
First scene.
And the style of animation is completely different to the rest of the film, but it perfectly articulates the panic that you would feel in a wood structure.
Have you seen
fire.
Grave of the Fireflies? Those? Okay, so that's probably the most iconic Ghibli film where fire is used in a destructive manner. And it's the way they've done it in Boy and the Heron is completely different.
Oh, okay.
Even though it's the same type of context, it's a wood fire, it's before World War II.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in those settings where it was the same type of building, but it is just, you can see how far Ghibli's, their animation skill has improved, especially Miyazaki's, for actually depicting that.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. But yeah, the film's amazing. Is it the best film of the last year? That's up to opinion. There was quite a lot of good anime films last year, and it'll depend what your interest
was. It's a great film.
Was.
It's not my favourite Ghibli film.
No.
The story is very loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The story does really echo a lot of what Miyazaki mentioned before going into it, like about it being like, as a film, it was like his gift to his grandchildren for something to remember him by. And it does kind of discuss a lot in thematically about, you know, handing down, you know,
within
the,
that
the story.
Context, it means so much more.
Yeah.
Right.
Without that context, it's pretty good. But with the context,
it makes a lot of
really
sense.
Really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a good film. And it definitely works really well. The dub was exceptionally well done. Robert Pattinson plays the Heron.
Yeah,
And technically, the Heron's kind of a minor character.
Yeah.
But he gives it 110%. Yeah, apparently did it in clip. 3 days. Like,
so good.
Yeah. It's exceptional. He was just like,
also,
let's go.
Dave Bautista as the Parakeet King.
Oh, so good.
Just imagine a anthropomorphic parakeet army.
Yeah.
it's amazing. But yeah, highly recommend watching it. We will definitely have to see where it ends up when it goes digital, because surely it's got to be coming out soon, I'd imagine.
I maybe does Netflix still own?
Netflix still have agreements for existing titles, but not new titles. Mm. And part of the way they funded the film was by that agreement with HBO and Netflix to put all of Ghibli stuff on.
Yeah, did notice Netflix have got everything.
Yeah,
they do. It's literally like Spirited Away.
Mm.
I think that's my favorite. That was my first.
Yeah.
My first foray into Ghibli.
My first foray was Totoro. Like,
same.
But Totoro, then Spirited Away, and then Pompoko, the one with the tanukis with the balls. And
I haven't seen that one.
It's wild.
It's great.
Or maybe I have, actually.
It's good because it goes through a lot of time and it's kind of like a commentary on modernization and the destruction of nature as society expands. Mm. It was really good. Anyway, we'll move on from Ghibli to the end of Evangelion, which for some reason is heading to US theaters in March. G-Kids have revealed that. Recently, it's going to screen with English subtitles on March 17 and 20th in select US theaters. This is the end of the original anime series. It's not the recent quadrilogy of films.
I thought
it was the because remember, if you recall, the end of the Evangelion TV series ended with them running out of budget, so they really made it really weird. End of Evangelion was released a couple of years later after they had went completely bonkers on sales of DVDs and all that.
Mm.
And from there, that helped them fund this to do the proper ending that they felt would be done. But of course, it wouldn't be Anno if he didn't change his mind from the first ending to the second ending. So this is a different ending from the TV series.
Okay, because, I remember watching the end of the series and then watching something else.
Yeah.
And I was like, which one is
so the
actual end?
Yeah. The final movie version was created as an alternative ending to the TV series, remaking the final two episodes in visual. Sele plans an attack on Nerve after failing to create a man-made third impact. After reaffirming both her own and her mother's existence in a state of despair, Oscar returns and begins the counterattack. However, new enemies descend from the heavens, and Shinji witnesses the horrifying wreckage of Unit 2, while piloting Unit 1 and causes the third impact. So in the original one, but basically the difference is if you watch the series, Shinji chooses to join everyone as part of a unified consciousness.
Human goo.
Human goo. What is it? Tang. Delicious, tasty Tang. The film, the end of Evangelion film, he chooses that he doesn't want to join everyone in that. And that's why it's him and Oscar alone on the beach at the end.
They're the only two living human people. Yeah.
And then the third version that everyone says, but I don't know if it's technically canon, but there are signs that point to it. The third version is Shinji instead literally having become God, decides, I want to try again. And that's where the rebuild films start from.
Mm.
So it's like a rewind and a restart. Because there are elements in the first rebuild film which suggest that other events from the previous series have occurred, which are meant to happen later in time. So it's like they've rewound the time, but they haven't fixed the damage to buildings or damage to forests or damage to shorelines, which were done in the first series.
Yeah.
Now that might just be Anno going, I actually like how the shoreline looks after it was damaged.
Yeah.
Or it could be, I think it should be seen as like a reboot from like being a god sort of thing. But either way, this is going to be in cinemas. And if you watch the original series, it's quite an experience to see this in the cinema. I don't know if we're going to get it in Australia, but at least for our US listeners, have a look. You can find it on G-Kids website, all the information on where you can watch it and what cinemas are showing it, but check your local listings. That's 17th and 20th of March. So you've got a couple of weeks after this episode comes out to check it out. Now, let's talk about anime season sequels. One Punch Man season 3 is coming. It's been a while.
Did we watch season 2?
Season 2 had like the tournament where, he's just kind of not doing much for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. It was kind of like nothing.
So that was 2019. Season 1 was 2015. So when you think about it, it's been 5 years. It's about time. It fits in with their time frames. So, I don't think we have an official launch date from what I can see, just that they've put up a trailer. it's returning. The cast has been announced. They've put an official sneak peek up. It might still be end of the year. It could be 12 months away for all we know. Laidback Camp anime is getting its third season. I'm wondering how this is going to fit into their new storyline, seeing as after the film, they're all grown up and adults.
Yeah, I thought that was the end.
I thought that was the end too, but I don't know what's going on here. They've also changed studios. They've moved from C Station to 8-Bit. I don't know how I feel about that because that might change the art style and the character design and all that. But
at the end of the movie, did they end up turning that space into
like
a fully functioning?
Fully functioning campsite. It was opened up. It was beautiful. Yeah, I can't remember. It was really good.
Just be running with that.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like they're that old. In all the pictures that have been released. There's only been two pictures released so far.
Maybe time just didn't age them.
Well, they did age in the film.
Mm. Oh.
Because it's set like 10 years on. Like, they're all adults. They're all grown up. They've all been to university and done their other things.
Yeah,
it
might be that midsection.
Maybe. Anyway, we'll see. And the other one, which is quite a surprise to, I think, everyone, is that Sword Art Online's spin-off series, Gun Gale Online, is getting a sequel.
That no one asked for.
No one asked for this. I don't know why. I don't know how. I wonder if the people who own Sword Art Online's anime rights, considering the first season of this was April 2018 and only 13 episodes, so that's 6 years.
I don't know. There's got to be fans out there because I see so much merch for it, but I'm like, who's buying this?
I think so. I know, right? I think Sword Art Online is very popular in Japan and China, is my understanding. But outside of that, because, over the time of this story, like culturally, especially in Australia, we've changed a lot about the way we look at those type of stories.
Yeah.
It doesn't really fit very well and it's kind of a little bit toxic. But it's clearly got sales.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised they went with Gun Gale Online as opposed to continuing the main story. Like, it's been 11 years of Sword Art now, and they've only just,
Isn't that a part of the main story, though?
It's not. It's written by a completely different author. It was a light novel series, which is a spin-off. And it's not even following the main cast. It's a completely different group. It focuses on a 6-foot-tall college student who's insecure about her height. Her name is Karen. Yeah. Karen Kohiri.
This just sounds like a different anime.
Yep. It's just set in Gun Gale Online and, then plays a really short character in pink.
This sounds like a failed Disney show about accepting yourself. Didn't they have one called Tall? Something like that.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. It also reminds me of Red.
Red.
Where she becomes a panda.
Oh,
she has to accept herself.
Yeah.
But I mean, in that case, at least it was around an interesting topic. This is just kind of, I'm tall and I feel uncomfortable about that.
Well, that's fair.
It's fair, but it just seems like to be a very odd
topic. Oh, no. I knew a girl in primary school. And she was the tallest one in our whole year. And she got bullied and she was very upset about being the tallest person.
Yeah, because you're taller than all of the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was just like super tall.
Mm. Yeah.
She was like, and I thought she was tall. And I was taller that age.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I could only imagine how she felt.
Yeah, that's valid. Like, but, she's bad at dealing with people in the real world.
Average my entire life.
I have been slightly too tall that I hit my head on things my whole life. Anyway, that's Sword Art Online is debuting. Gun Gale Online 2 is debuting sometime this year. A lot of the cast are returning. I'm pretty sure it'll be A1 Pictures because they have the rights to it, which is Sony. So, yep, I can imagine them pushing this pretty hard. Mm. That's kind of it for the major news. There have probably been other things we've missed over the past few months because of, obviously, delays and changes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we're going to leave it for this episode.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
So, thank you. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. Next time, It's the White Day episode. This is a new thing we're going to be doing going forward. Our Patreon members have helped us pick a, shall we say, raunchy anime for our new annual White Day episode. So just like our traditional Valentine's Day episode, this one is not for the kids. Going forward, every year we will have, well, this is the plan at least, unless something tragic happens, a Valentine's Day episode where the team chooses their, you know, lewd, questionable series for the year. And then the month later, in response to our suggestions, our community will give us a suggestion to watch for our White Day episode, which will also be equally questionable. Now, if you have enjoyed what you've heard, we'd love to hit the subscribe button, join us for future episodes, likes, buttons, all that stuff on YouTube. Go press it. It's good fun, apparently. I wouldn't know. I watch it all on the TV. I'm old. Now,
I never listen to these.
No, you don't. You skip to the next episode. You jump straight over. You're done. Now, we have previously mentioned that we've got the Patreon. Obviously, if you want a chance to vote on these sorts of topics in future, links are in the description. You also get access to the pre-show, which is where we talk a lot of trash. And in this case, I think we talked about tattoos mostly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You got to, what is it, respect the alpha.
Yeah.
Yeah. RTA.
Recognize
the alpha.
Because everybody has an alpha inside of them.
Yeah. Even if that alpha is an alpha bunny. I love rabbits. They're great.
Yeah.
Anyway, big thanks to our Patreon members. If you'd like to support us, details in the description. You get access to that pre-show, outtakes, video extras. All the details are below. Memberships start from $1 a month, and that gets you access to the pre-show and outtakes. Follow us over on the socials if you aren't already. And I think at least for now, we're staying on Twitter/X. Maybe might be closing that off soon. So keep an eye, if you are one of our Twitter followers, about where we're going to end up after that. That's kind of it. So next time, it's an 18 plus episode. If you're under 18, get your parents' permission. Parental guidance recommended, I guess.
No, it's not. No.
Anyway, you've been listening to Kawaii-Fi Radio. Don't listen to my advice. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, watch some anime.
You don't want to watch those with your parents.
No!